Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by for JinkoSolar Holding Co., Ltd.'s first quarter 2024 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. After management's prepared remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. As a reminder, today's conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host for today's call, Ms. Stella Wang, JinkoSolar's Investor Relations. Please proceed, Stella.
Thank you, operator. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for JinkoSolar's first quarter 2024 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar, Mr. Li Xiande, Chairman and CEO of JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited, Mr. Zhenlan Miao, CMO of JinkoSolar Company Limited, Mr. Pan Li, CFO of JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited, and Mr. Charlie Cao, CFO of JinkoSolar Company Limited. Mr. Li will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and company highlights, followed by Mr. Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Pan Li, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the Safe Harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under the applicable law. It's now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Li Xiande, Chairman and CEO of JinkoSolar Holding. Mr. Li will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Li.
很高兴凭借在NGINE.com的技术有竞争力的产品全球化的营销和资产布局等优势一季度逐渐出货量同比增长 53.3% 达到19.99G瓦 位列行业第一 NGINE产品的出货占比从去年第四季度的 70% 提升到一季度的近 80% 保持行业领先一季度逐渐价格持续走低在行业开工率大幅下降的情况下我们的开工率仍维持着行业 领先的水平。此外，一季度有超过 70% 的海外市场的出货，其中欧美市场的出货占比环比四季度大幅提升。一季度毛利率为 11.9%， 环比持平。一季度净利润为 8440万美元， 环比提升 19.8倍。经调整利润为 6510万美元， 环比提升 1.6%。
We are happy to announce that thanks to our advantages of N-type TOPCon technology, competitive products, global marketing and manufacturing layout, our module shipments grow 53.3% year-over-year to nearly 20 gigawatts in the first quarter, ranking first in the industry. The proportion of N-type shipments increased to nearly 80% in the first quarter from approximately 70% in the fourth quarter last year, maintaining our leading position in the industry. Module prices continued to fall in the first quarter. While the industry average utilization rate declined sharply, we maintained our leading utilization rate at high level. Over 70% of modules were shipped to overseas markets in the first quarter, while proportion of shipments to Europe and the U.S. significantly increased sequentially. Gross margin was 11.9%, flat sequentially. Net income was US$84.4 million, up 19.8 times sequentially. Adjusted net income was US$65.1 million, up 1.6% sequentially.
一季度中国光伏新增装机规模达到45.7个G瓦, 同比增长了35.9%. 1到3月份组件合计出货 出口61.7个吉瓦，同比增长超过20%。光伏行业仍然是为数不多保持较高增速的行业之一。我们预计在2024年，全球光伏需求有25%到30%的增长。二季度以来，硅料环节由于供过于求，价格持续走低。另一方面，受到宏观经济的影响，部分大宗产品价格上涨，需求向好，排产提升使得玻璃、胶膜等辅材价格提升。各种因素的叠加，使得组件市场价格在低位保持相对稳定。短期来看，一体化企业的盈利承压，但不同企业之间由于经营能力的差异，预计业绩会越来越分化，缺乏市场竞争力，持续生产能力和技术更新迭代的产能将会被加速淘汰。面对各种外部环境的挑战，我们聚焦在持续增长公司的竞争力，有信心保持相对领先优势。
Newly added installations in China reached 45.7 gigawatts in the first quarter, an increase of 35.9% year-over-year. Module exports totaled 61.7 gigawatts, an increase of over 20% year-over-year. The PV industry remained one of the few sectors maintaining a high growth rate, and we expect global PV demand to grow approximately 25 to 30% in 2024.Coming into the second quarter, polysilicon prices continued to decline as supply exceeds demand. On the other hand, macroeconomic conditions pushed commodity prices higher, while increasing market demand drove prices of some materials such as glass and film higher. All those factors combined to keep recent module prices relatively stable at a low level. In the short term, the profitability of integrated solar companiesis expected to come under pressure. Yet, these distinctions in operating capabilities, performance of different companies will have larger difference. We expect that overall production capacity in our industry will shrink with the elimination of weaker players that lack market competitiveness, sustainable production capabilities, and the ability to regularly upgrade and iterate technology.Facing various external challenges, we will focus on enhancing our competitiveness, and we are confident to maintain relative advantages compared to our first-tier peers.
一季度面对市场环境的变化，我们灵活调整了市场布局，以更好地实现出货和盈利的平衡。凭借全球化的市场布局优势和有竞争力的产品，截至目前，全年订单可见度已经超过70%。
In the first quarter, faced with a changing market environment, we flexibly adjusted our sales strategies to better balance shipments and profitability. Leveraging our global footprint and competitive products, our order book visibility for 2024 currently exceeds 70%.
产业链承压的背景下，我们一方面持续导入新技术，提升 TOPCon 电池量产效率和组件功力，一方面持续通过供应链优化、工艺设计优化等举措降低成本。
With continued pressure along the industrial chain, we continued to deploy new technologies to improve the mass produced efficiency of TOPCon cells and module output while reducing costs through initiatives such as optimization of supply chain and production process.
先进产能方面，我们也在加速 P 型产能的推出，预计2024年底，我们的 N 型产能将超过90%。先进产能结构持续领先行业。
We are also accelerating the clearing out of our P-type capacity. Our N-type capacity is expected to exceed 90% of total capacity by the end of 2024, and we expect our advanced capacity structure to continue to lead the industry.
作为拥有行业最大的海外一体化产能的公司，我们不断完善全球产业链的建设。美国一个吉瓦 N 型组件产能已投产，另有一个吉瓦预计在二季度投产。凭借全球化市场布局的优势和长期积累的风险应对经验，我们有信心应对国际贸易环境的变化，持续为全球客户提供优质高效的产品和服务。
As a company with the largest overseas integrated capacity in the industry, we continuously work to expand the global industry chain. 1 gigawatt N-type module capacity in the U.S. has started production, and another 1 gigawatt is expected to start production in the second quarter this year. These are advantages of global operation and long accumulated experience in risk management. We are confident to respond to changes in international trade and continue to provide premium products and services to our global clients.
根据 IEA 的最新预测，得益于更低的发电成本，未来五年风能和太阳能发电将占新增可再生能源发电电量的 95%。到2028年，风能和太阳能发电的份额将翻一番，合计达到 25%。太阳能发电仍然是有很大的成长空间，同时光伏加储能的成本下降将持续提升光储项目的投资的经济性，刺激光储需求的持续快速增长。我们长期看好光伏加储能将成为未来电力发展的主要模式，有信心凭借先进的技术和优质高效的产品继续引领行业。
According to the latest predictions by the International Energy Agency, IEA, solar PV and wind will account for 95% of global renewable expansion, benefiting from lower generation costs than both fossil and non-fossil fuel alternatives. By 2028, the share of wind and solar PV in global electricity generation will double to 25%. Solar PV still has enormous growth potential. Meanwhile, declining cost of solar plus storage will continue to improve the economics of investing into PV storage projects and stimulate demand growth for storage projects. We are bullish that solar plus storage will become the major model for future growth in electricity generation, and we are confident to continue to lead the industry with advanced technologies and premium high-efficiency products.
话题交给接纳之前，我来介绍一下业绩指引。预计2024年底 N 型的电池量产效率将达到 26.5%， 预计到2024年底单晶硅片高效电池和组件的产能分别达到120吉瓦、110吉瓦和130吉瓦。2024年第二季度组件出货量在24吉瓦到26吉瓦之间，2024年全年组件出货量100个吉瓦到110个吉瓦之间，其中 N 型出货量将占比将接近 90%。
Before turning over to Jenna, I would like to go over our guidance for the second quarter and the full year of 2024. By the end of 2024, we expect mass-produced N-type cell efficiency to reach 26.5%. We expect our annual production capacity for mono wafers, solar cells, and solar modules to reach 120, 110, and 130 gigawatts, respectively, by the end of 2024. We expect module shipments to be between 24 to 26 gigawatts for the second quarter of 2024, and between 100 and 110 gigawatts for the full year 2024, with N-type modules accounting for nearly 90% of total module shipments.
Thank you, Ms. Yin. Total shipments were 21.9 gigawatts in the first quarter, with module shipment accounting for over 90%, ranking first in the industry again. Under the stressful market crisis in the first quarter, we flexibly adjusted our geographic mix. Over 70% of modules were shipped to overseas markets, especially to Asia Pacific and emerging markets. Shipments to the U.S. were relatively stable sequentially, while shipments to Europe increased nearly 20%, evidence of future inventory reduction. On the demand side, the general trend for global low-carbon transformation was unchanged despite problems related to installation and connection in some regions and the policy issues in others. We continue to expect a relatively rapid growth in global demand in 2024. Our extensive sales network and the deeply rooted local customer service infrastructure will help us to respond to market shifts and adjust the flexibility and the timely, constantly satisfying client demand for more reliable, low-carbon, and compliant PV products. Looking forward to the full year, we expect that the proportion of shipments to Europe and the U.S. to further increase compared to last year. shipments of competitive high-efficiency N-type Tiger Neo modules accounted for nearly 80% overall, far exceeding the industry average as the value of Tiger Neo is increasingly recognized by customers. In the European and emerging markets, the Tiger Neo penetration rates exceed 90%. In terms of segment demand from distribution markets in China, Europe, and Asia-Pacific was strong during the first quarter. Closely following the market trend, we raised the ratio of distribution to approximately 50% in the quarter. We focused very strongly on building our brand recognition because an outstanding brand is key to gaining the long-term trust of our clients. Recently, we were recognized as a Tier 1 energy storage provider by Bloomberg New Energy Finance due to our outstanding products and the capabilities in energy storage, reflecting our commitment to providing safe and reliable energy storage solutions and the recognition by customers for timely delivery and effective deployment capabilities. Besides, we received the AAA rating once again in the 2024 Q1 release of PV Tech Module Tech Bankability Report, which demonstrates our leadership in manufacturing excellency, reliable quality, market share leadership, sound financial performance, and technology innovation. With that, I will turn the call over to Pan.
Thank you, Gener. We're pleased to report that our solar module shipment increased by about 53% in the first quarter. While solar module price declined, we enhanced control over costs and expenses. Gross profit margin were flat and adjusted net income slightly improved sequentially. At the same time, thanks to our efforts in debt management, our net debt improved sequentially, leveraging our advantages in N-type technology and global sales and manufacturing network. We're very confident in our growth prospect and will continue to improve the efficiency of our working capital, achieving sustainable growth in operating cash flow, and enhance our resilience to risks. Let me go into more details now. Total revenue was 3.2 billion, down sequentially and slightly down year-over-year. The sequential decrease was mainly attributed to the decrease in the shipments of solar modules, and the year-over-year decrease was mainly attributed to the decrease in average selling price of solar modules. Gross margin was 11.9% compared with 12.5% in the fourth quarter last year. The decreases were mainly due to the decrease in average selling price of modules. Total operating expenses were 426 million, down 18% sequentially. The sequential decrease was mainly due to the decrease in the shipments of solar modules and the lower expense in relation to the settlement of a dispute with one of our customers. Total operating expenses accounted for 13% of total revenues, compared with 11% in the fourth quarter and 12% in the first quarter of 2023. Net income attributed to JinkoSolar Holding's ordinary shareholders was about 84.4 million, up nearly 20 times sequentially. Excluding the impact from a change in fair value of the note, a change in fair value of long-term investments, and the share-based compensation expenses, adjusted net income was about 65 million, slightly up sequentially. Moving to the balance sheet. At the end of the first quarter, our cash and cash equivalents were 2.44 billion, compared with 2.69 billion in the fourth quarter of 2023, and slightly improved from 1.48 billion in the first quarter of 2023. AR turnover days were 100 days, compared with 76 days in the fourth quarter and 95 days in the first quarter of last year. Inventory turnover days were 89 days compared with 57 days in the fourth quarter and 100 days in the first quarter of last year. At the end of the first quarter, total debt was 3.66 billion compared to 4.38 billion in the fourth quarter of 23. Net debt was 1.22 billion compared to 1.63 billion in the fourth quarter of 23. A continuous improvement in our debt structure. This concludes our prepared remarks. We're now happy to take your questions. Operator, please proceed.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star and then 2. If you are a speaker, if you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. Please limit yourself to 3 questions. The first question comes from Brian Lee. Please go ahead.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for taking the questions. Appreciate it. I know you guys are not in the practice of providing specific, margin and ASP guidance anymore, but just given kind of the fluctuations in the pricing environment, can you give us a sense? Pricing was down. It seems like kind of down to like the low to mid teens here, ASP per watt, if we back out the wafer and the cell revenue in the quarter. Should we expect more ASP degradation in modules embedded in the 2Q guide? And then what's sort of the margin cadence you expect off the result here in Q1? Should we expect 2Q to be up, down, flat, and then maybe back half views as well if there's more of a recovery there?
Hey, Brian, this is Charlie. Back to your questions. And, the module price is down in the recent 3 quarters, and that's a fact. And we have different regions, different arrangement, long-term versus short-term. If you are talking about, Q2, the ASP on average, it's down a little bit. But the most important thing is, we are improving the cost and try our best. At the same time, we are adopting the relatively new technology materials. And on top of that, we are ramping up, this year our focus is the Sanxi Super factories. We're expecting to be fully operational in the second half year. And for the gross margin and profitabilities, we strongly believe in the first half year, this year, it's reaching to the bottom. And for quarter by quarter, we expect the gross margin relatively stable for the second quarter, which is Q1. And for the second half year, and we expect more shipments, particularly in the United States, as well as in the European markets. And on top of that, we are in a very good position for the Middle East market. And it helps, the gross margin. And in addition, the industry is suffering, the very fierce competitions, particularly for price. But we are expecting the capacities for the tier 2, tier 3, and even, the capacity which are not able to be, technology competitive will be phased out throughout this year. This may, help, the overall bad and supply versus demand situations, and particularly in the second half year.
Okay, that's helpful. So if I summarize, I guess it sounds like ASPs down a little bit more into 2Q and then margins stable in 2Q off the 1Q level. Are you actually seeing quoting activity, or what's the outlook for pricing? I know you said shipment volumes and mix improve in the back half, but how about like-for-like ASPs? Are you actually seeing, you said 70% of your 2024 is already covered in backlog, it sounds like. What's the pricing dynamic you're seeing in the second half versus Q1 and Q2, where pricing is still going down?
Yeah, for the pricing, Brad, for the pricing, we believe it will continue to follow the market, which we believe is already reaching the rock bottom, right? Compared to the market prices versus the industry, even the leading cost structures, most of the peers or the industry players are under the water right now. So that's why we believe the price is reaching the bottom. However, when we look into the improvement of the cost structure-wise, definitely it does not, go that fast as the price falls in the last 5, 6, even 8 months' time. That's why, the margin-wise, it will struggle at the beginning of the year, but we believe once the cost structure start to improve to reach the level of the ASPs and match the level of ASPs, we believe the company or even the whole industry, at least the leading competitive ones, will keep their margin as healthy as possible. Hope that answered your question.
Yes, absolutely. Very helpful. And then maybe last one from me, and I'll jump back in the queue. You also mentioned, back half of the year, it sounds like you're positive on U.S. volume trends growing for you. I know this is pretty fresh, the inception of, this AD/CVD potential investigation. That was petitioned last week by some of the U.S. suppliers. I know in the fall last year, you guys were deemed to not have been one of the companies dumping or countervailing, and so you weren't subject to any duties. It sounds like this petition is opening that entire case back up potentially. So what are your thoughts on the latest, trade policy update here, given what happened last week? And then do you anticipate any, or are you seeing any, customer feedback right now that suggests there's more uncertainty for you as you move through the next few quarters? Just kind of how are you navigating it? Thank you.
Well, it's still early to see what could be the result of this upcoming AD/CVD petitions, but definitely from Jinko's perspective, we still prefer as a fair trade world, which could benefit not only the Jinko itself, but also, the whole industry, where we can drive. That's what the whole industry has been doing in the last even two decades, right? To driving the LCOE of the PV energy more and more competitive, which can help the whole world become greener and more environmental friendly and less carbon footprint. With trade tariff or the current geopolitical issue, definitely it is a big challenge. It increases a lot of cost, but as a company side, we have no choice but to, try our best to adapt to what the market or what the government wants. So that's why we are working very hard with our lawyers, with our customers, trying to find out the best solution in the U.S. market. But right now, honestly speaking, it's still too early to see what could be the pros and cons for that right now. So we might need another, let's say, 3, even 6 months to see what could be the, let's say, upside and downside on that. Thank you.
Okay, fair enough. Last one, housekeeping for Charlie. I promise I'll pass it on after this. Charlie, what was D&A in the quarter? What was CapEx in the quarter? And then also, could you tell us what the percent of sales in the U.S. this quarter was and what U.S. ASP range was, dollar per watt or cents per watt in the quarter? Thank you.
The U.S. shipment roughly 8%, 8% of total, Q1 shipments. That's a shipment. And the revenue percentage will be higher because the prices, you know, were dramatically higher, right? If you look at the average market price. And for the total CapEx, you are always sure about it. Last year we spent roughly 20 billion RMB on the capacity expansion, and this year will be 50% lower than 10 billion RMB. And last year we delivered 25 billion operating cash flow, and this year our target is operating cash flow will be over, you know, larger than the 10 billion. So that's but for the Q1, the CapEx is roughly 3 billion and the operating cash flow is 1.5 billion.
Okay, the next question comes from Philip Sheen with Roth MKM. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions. First one is a follow-up on Brian's question regarding Southeast Asia AD/CVD tariffs that could be coming later this year. So was wondering if you could talk about how you plan on managing the retroactive tariff risk. So I think you guys talked about increasing your shipments to the U.S. market or certainly having a high mix to the U.S. through 2024. Can you share how much of your shipment volume in 24 could go to the U.S.? And then how do you plan on managing that retroactive risk that could be as early as, you know, May or July? Thanks.
Yeah, for the volume-wise, we still stick to our previous plan that we are not intentionally increase or decrease our shipment to U.S. because of the recent AD/CVD petitions. So that's already, you know, within our even, you know, within the plan of this year. So it is definitely because you know what happened in the last 2 years in U.S. to JinkoSolar. So that's why this year's total shipment numbers or the ratio of the U.S. market definitely will be higher than last year. That's why we're just saying that. And for this tariff risk or retroactive, or the number-wise, we don't have mature solutions right now. That's why we are still, as I just answered Brian's question, we are still talking to the lawyers and the customer to see what could be the best solutions. Right now, at least I'm not aware of any good solutions on it.
Got it. And how, thank you, Jenna, how are your contracts structured? Meaning, oftentimes there's a change of law provision that may put the risk onto the customer, but does it cover tariffs? And so do you have the provisions in all your U.S. contracts so that the risk is on the customer? Or in this case, do you believe that the risk of retroactive tariffs may fall into your camp? Thanks.
I don't think we can disclose the details of the contract, but definitely customers feel the risk as well. So even there are some, you know, language which give the cash risk to the customer end, but definitely the customer side has just the basic economics of the project financing, right? If it does go beyond a certain threshold, then definitely the project will not happen or as planned. That's why we have to, you know, go through all those details with our customers, with their lawyers, and even their financing providers to find out the best mutual solution for all parties. So it's not that easy to take a one case, one solution for all.
Okay. Thank you, Jenna. One last question on the U.S. market. What do you think is the amount of channel inventory in the U.S.? We've seen a lot of shipments, you know, to the tune of about 5 gigawatts a month coming to the U.S. over the past year. Do you think there's as much as a year and a half of module inventory in the U.S., or do you think it's much lower? Can you help us understand what you see? Thanks.
We have read the notes saying that there's, let's say, oversupply in U.S. market. Even some players, either downstream or upstream, try to get more modules before that's not AD3D, but that's the anti-circ, right? So before anti-circ, we read the notes, but from our end, we have not been able to verify that directly from the customers or from some of our peers right now. But definitely, if we look into the numbers available in the market or some market analyst report, we have seen a massive number of the modules or solar product has been shipped to U.S. But the grid connection numbers might not support that big number. Definitely, we have the same question as you have right now.
Okay, thanks, Jenna. Last question here for me on the fire. That you guys disclosed over the weekend. Can you talk about the impact? Shanxi is supposedly a key part of your margin, right? So you did say that there would be an impact in 24. Can you quantify in any way? When do you think that facility could come back online? How destructive was the fire? Thanks.
Philip, the impact is still being evaluated. But Shanxi Super Factory, remember, this year we do two phases. Phase one is 14 gigawatts. Phase two is another 14 gigawatts. And the second phase two, will stick to the original plan and are expected to start the operation in Q3 for the phase two and fully operational in early of Q4 this year. But we are talking about the phase one. Phase one, the fire has an impact on the cell capacity, the 14 gigawatts, and we expect the cell capacity will be fully operational by the end of this year, and this is the original plan is. By the end of the middle year, so it's going to have some kind of impact, two quarters roughly, and estimated and 3 to 5 gigawatts. So the impact is not significant. It's a very, not significant impact for the cell, and so for the operational side, we have adjust our productions. Throughout the global facilities to minimize the impact to our customers, and for the cost side and the impact of the operation, we think it's not significant. However, for the losses of the fire is still evaluating, but the equipment is fully get the insurance from the big insurance companies in China, and we're working on it.
Got it. Thank you very much for the color. I'll pass it on.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Wade Wu with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hello? Sorry, can you hear me?
Hi, yes, your line is now.
Yeah, this is Alan from Jefferies. So thanks, management, for taking my question. So first of all, we'd like to ask about follow up the question from Philip on the basically how many or what is the percentage of the contracts you have signed at least have the language that. Is passing through the potential liability of the delays in ADCVD. The background of this question is because some of the peers suffered a lot last year when they have procured high-priced polysilicon, and then later on when they failed to deliver the shipment, they even have to pay penalties as per those contracts. So I wonder if those language is already there, and it's only a matter of working with your clients to solve the problem. And is there any potential liability in delivering the obligations?
I don't think we can disclose that level of detail, but definitely we are, case by case working with customers on this AD3D risks, as we always do, right? So we got a lot of support from the customers regarding what has happened in the U.S. market in the last 2 years' time. So definitely we appreciate the support, and we are carrying that love for the future long-term partnership with most of our customers. That's why we, you know, we never want to end up with a loss-loss solution. So even if there's a risk, we definitely go ahead with the customer to look into the solutions together. That's why we can maintain our leadership in many markets, right?
Understood. So the next question is regarding to some of the appears to be one-off income in this quarter. So like the other income is actually has surged quarter by quarter. So wonder if that's related to a disposal of our disposal gain in our Xinjiang capacity, and how much of that is related to that?
In Q1, we have completed transaction to sell 100% of equity of our Xinjiang, you know, facilities, and we utilized, I think, roughly 800 million to 900 million, you know, net income impact.
Understood. So, also, I recall in the transaction there's further performance. How to say? It's kind of like a performance guarantee in the next couple of years. So has that been factored into this 800 to 900 million, or that is completely separated?
We didn't record that. You know, the performance. You know, kind of the performance obligation or variable considerations from the sale of the equity. So we did not account on the book. We just recorded the fixed portion, you know, for the transaction.
Understood. So and I think another thing that is quite I would say quite impressive compared to a lot of your peers is that you actually do not have any impairment on assets. So wonder if you think you will have any impairment risk going forward in this year, or because you have a super majority of your capacities are TOPCon already, so you do not foresee any risk going forward from here.
Yes, you're right, and we have very small per capacity, and we accelerated depreciation over 5 years, throughout the last 2 years, and the net book value is not significant.
That's impressive. And also, you have mentioned the cash flow in the first quarter was actually positive. So wonder if the company has taken initiative to improve the cash flow quarter over quarter, because that's also one of the concerns of investors as to the operating cash flow.
The efficiency is still our focus. You know, operational efficiencies and minimize the, you know, production lead time, logistic delivery time, cash conversion cycles. And the Shanxi Super Factory we are building is one of the key considerations, improves the whole cycle, you know, conversion, and improves the cash flow, minimize the, you know, the working capitals, warehouse costs, and the logistic timing.
Thanks a lot. Finally, on the buyback, wonder if the company has any guidance on the pace of the buyback, because I've noticed that there's a lot of announcement around that, but wonder if you would provide any guidance on that, and would there be any blackout in buyback after the end of quarter and before the announcement of the results?
Our plan is, you know, preliminary price, the shareholder return is roughly $200 million this year. And you can see, you know, we released news, we have spent roughly $105 million to repurchase back, the ADS. And on top of that, which is subject to the board approval, we plan to declare dividend roughly $70 million to $80 million. So together with our plan, preliminary plan this year's shareholder return is roughly $200 million.
Understood. Thanks a lot. I'll pass on.
Welcome.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. The next question comes from Rajiv Chaudhri with Intrinsic Edge. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and congratulations on a strong performance in a very tough first quarter for the industry. My first question is about the gross margin. It seems like your cost per watt for modules were down roughly 10% from the fourth quarter to the first quarter. And my question is, number one, can you give us an idea of how you were able to achieve such a dramatic decline in cost per watt, given that the polysilicon costs were down as well, but not as significant? And then I have a follow-up on the gross margin as well.
It's a combination of our supply chain, our R&D teams, new technology, and lower the consumption of the materials. And we upgraded the TOPCon capacity, adopting the nickel technology, and significantly improved our cell efficiencies while cut a lot of the consumption of the silver paste. And so a lot of efforts we are doing that. And we have internally, we have a very, solid target for the cost reductions. And step by step, we think, with quarter by quarter, the cost will be relatively, improvement will be relatively quicker. But again, but now the industry situation is module price is kind of drop a lot. But we expect it to be stabilized, and the cost takes time. And we will try our best, to improve the cost structure.
So Charlie, is it fair to think that that in the coming quarters, Q2, Q3, and Q4, with all the improvements that you are making, that we can expect costs to improve by 1 to 2% every quarter?
It depends. Some of things, most of things we can control, but some of things we are out of control. If you look at the silver, the commodity price is up a lot, in recent months. But we're trying to minimize the impact. But if you look at quarter by quarter throughout the year, it's definitely the end of this year, the cost will be lower, than the cost as of today.
Right. But assuming that the material costs don't change, is the 2% per quarter on a sequential basis a reasonable assumption to make in terms of how you are reducing the cost?
Yeah, we have internally, even bigger target, and 2% each quarter, if assuming the material cost is the same. But overall cost, depending on a lot of things, And I think overall it's going to be improved. But again, we think, in the next two quarters, the cost improvement will not so significant. And because we have do a lot of things, and but the commodity price now looks at to be keep at a very high level. And considering that, we don't believe, the overall cost will be dramatically lower, but it's lower, slightly lower in the trend in the next two quarters.
So combined with the fact that ASPs, well, that you'll be selling more product in the United States by the fourth quarter, and so it's possible that ASPs are actually up somewhat sequentially, from Q3 to Q4, and your costs are coming down by, let's say, even 2% quarter over quarter. It looks like you should be able to get the gross margin to be in the 16-17% kind of range by the fourth quarter. Is that reasonable?
It's difficult to estimate, but we think the one of the key things is with the capacity, some of capacity phased out, in the second half year. We think the price will be come to a relatively rational level. On top of that, we have Sanxi Super Factory, we have more shipments in the U.S. and some of the premium market. It helps our margin, even some level of recovery. But it depends, on a lot of things. But we think, what we are now doing is we do internal things and we do what we can control.
I see. Okay. My next question is on market share. Your market share in 2023 was in excess of 15%, closer to 16% for the year as a whole. And in the first quarter, it's already in the 17% kind of range. Do you think that as the capacity comes offline for the rest of the year, that your market share will continue to increase, especially if you hit the 110 gigawatt kind of number for the year?
Well, we never take market share as our, let's say, our target, right? So that's why it's hard to say. And also because of the different definitions, there are different ways to calculate it, right? It's difficult to really define a fair, well-accepted market share definition. But anyway, we appreciate your calculations on these numbers. Based on my perception, I think it's roughly around 17-18% market share is how we are looking at ourselves today. Whether that number could go up or go down, it depends on the the competitions, it depends on the whole industry, so it depends on a peer strategy as well. So that's why it's difficult to say that right now, but definitely, we are doing our best to make sure, we deliver the good result from the financial statement-wise. Meanwhile, we are doing our best to serve our customers in the long term to keep the long-term partnership momentum.
So is the market share that you have combined with the brand name that you are developing as well, is that giving you a price premium or an increasing price premium relative to other brands?
But definitely, we believe our brand give us a lot of strength and the market acceptance or awareness for sure. But whether it creates a market premium, it depends on what numbers you are comparing with, right? If you compare with the nobodies in the market, definitely the brand itself worth quite a lot. But if you compare it with the top two or top three, the definition or the acceptance of the customers across the different the top brand might not be that much as people imagine. So, and also the brand premium in the different market sector in different country will vary a lot as well.
I see. A question on the N-type products. What do you think the industry's shipments of N-type products will be in 2024?
Roughly, we believe the market will finish the transition from P-type to N-type by end of this year. So
Technically, it might start from, let's say, roughly 35 to 40% range until year end, 90, even 95% range. That's what we believe.
So you think the competitors will also get up to the 90% range by the end of the year?
I mean the whole industry, right? So someone might take action faster, someone may be slower. But as an industry, we believe that the whole industry will look like.
Now you have been ahead in terms of getting your cost of N-type down. Now your N-type costs are comparable to P-type. What kind of margin premium does that give you over Tier 2 and Tier 3 companies who are behind the cost curve relative to you guys?
So let's take this as the last question. Thank you for your question. So we believe if you look into some third-party market intel, for example, there's PV InfoLink, right? So if you compare the P-type, N-type price, the gap is roughly $1 per watt peak. So if you can roughly calculate how much it will reflect in the margin-wise, right? So it's roughly like 9-10% of the margin difference, right? That's the way we are looking into it.
I see. Okay.
Thank
you. Just one last question.
Sorry, because of the time limit, we need to connect the next investor. For more questions, we can negotiate after the call. Okay. Operator, please connect the next question.
Okay, the last question comes from Leo Ho with Daiwa Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Okay, thanks, management. Just a question on the ADCVD situation. I just wonder for our U.S. capacity, are we using our own solar cell from Southeast Asia? And we've been hearing, some industry feedback suggesting that probably there may be the cancellation of the wafer plus three rules, which means that we cannot use a solar cell from Southeast Asia anymore. So do you have any view on that? Thank you.
I'm not quite sure what policies you are referring to, but based on the Jinko situation, we are fully vertical integrated in outside China. Means polysilicon ingot, wafer, cell, module are not all from non-China sources, right? So that's what we have built in the last 2 years' time under the UFLPA. So that gives us a lot of advantage and trust in the U.S. market.
Okay, just one more question, if I may. I would like to ask about the EU situation. Aside from, I think publicly announced situation regarding LONGi and also Shanghai Electric, are we hearing any, troubles regarding Chinese players exporting to Europe? Especially we've been hearing some weird news suggesting that probably there's one of the major module maker with its EU headquarter being raided. I'm not sure if you guys are hearing the same situation. Thank you.
Just not something I'm aware of right now. So if I have anything, I will let you know.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
This concludes the conference call. Please disconnect your line.